If you freaking don't want to fight, then you freaking might as well stop right now. Are you going to stop fighting? You're behind in this fight. Damn it. Take this. You're behind in this fight. You're not listening. You got 12 minutes left. That's 4 rounds. What you do in the next 12 minutes, you're going to have to live with for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years of your life. Your little son, he's not going to be told that his son beat Holyfield. He's going to be told he beat thoughts to a guy named Bolter. Who was brought up with no talent. You understand? Anything you feel, he's feeling the same, but worse. You're just not digging. You hear me? And you can't talk about all the things you talk about if you don't perform. Now listen, do you want to live with that the rest of your life?
No.
Michael, it's going to happen. You got 12 minutes. You're behind. You understand? It's going to start here.
Yes, yes. The boys are back in town. What episode is this, B? You're listening to Knock 'Em Out the Box, episode 75.
75.
It's my favorite part of the show.
I'm straight up broke. Go. I had a bad weekend gambling.
Right. My name is Vinny Paz. I'm here with my co-host, with the co-most, the left kid. Mr. Brandon Long, what's the word, my brother? How you living?
By the train tracks.
Well, you were struggling.
In a van down by the river.
Right. You let your daughter watch Wizard of Oz. The poor kid is traumatized. You know what I'm saying?
Let's not say I let. Mm-hmm. There's other parents in this house. Combo with my parents.
Oh, they were there?
No, a little combination platter. No, they watched her today, suggested that she watch this movie.
And then she got in her head.
So I found the DVD, believe it or not, found an old Blu-ray / DVD player, hooked that puppy up.
Right.
And
so you actually had to put in work to traumatize your girls.
And yeah. Right. Well, just one of them.
Just one of them.
Little one, don't get scared.
Nothing. She's going to beat up the Wicked Witch and put her in jail?
If the witch comes to this house, I'm going to punch the witch and put the witch in jail.
Wow.
She just turned 3. So, yeah. You know, she's like 3 going on 30. So
she's ready to rock.
Always. That kid's always ready to rock.
Look, man, lots to talk about, obviously, about, you know, what happened this weekend.
As you would say. We got a little, some sagely advice came our way, and some people didn't take it.
Well, listen, man, there's a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about it. And I think our take is going to be interesting because you and I have takes on the fight itself. You know what I'm saying? Which are there and will be there. And, you know, they are what they are. But then I think what's going to be different for us and our show is what we think about the aftermath, as opposed to what the boxing media and the boxing scene at large thinks about the aftermath of said fight. Mm-hmm. Let's start it off real quick. Eddie Hearn has told reporters that Devin Haney has already instructed him. This would have been if Haney won. I'm sorry. My apologies. I meant to take that out of there. Forget that. Let's start fresh. Terrence Crawford versus Israel Madrimov card on August 3rd in Los Angeles, made by Turki Alsheikh. So, I mean, this guy's moving and shaking even when it comes to the U.S.
Yo, I have good sources that tell me that there were members of his team at the Barclays Center on Saturday.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So they're scouting.
This guy is great for the sport. His attitude is great for the sport. Certainly, I'm very impressed with and interested in the fact that. Yes, we know how I feel about a lot of fights being held in Saudi, but that he's going to have some here too as well.
And maybe in my backyard.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah, I'm not, you know, I'm not very I look, there's a lot to say if he starts bringing a lot of fights here to the U.S.
I'll be at some of those fights.
Yeah.
And maybe our special guest will be at some of those fights for his first time on American soil.
Absolutely.
So I might have to take that guy to dinner.
So the undercard is already set, which for it being when it is, which is August,
in 3rd, August.
Isn't usually, you know, the case. Another, what were we joking and calling me? Karnak from
the great Pazzini?
Yeah, the great Pazzini. You gave me another one, the crap.
Vince Radamas?
Right. So the undercard, Isaac Cruz, Jose Valenzuela, the return of Andy Ruiz, because apparently he's in a divorce and needs a payday, versus the you know who. Do you know who?
I know.
You know who he's fighting?
I do.
Do you want to say that? Do you want me? I said he wasn't gone. He was not gone.
Bro, this dude is rubber and glue. How does that go? You know,
whatever.
He just sticks to boxing, this guy. He's like a fucking boomerang. No matter how far they threw him.
Is versus Big Baby Jarrell Miller.
Oh my God, he gets another fight. I guess he got out of the clink.
Well,
he's not going to jail.
I haven't heard a word since right. that happened. After a piss poor performance against Daniel Dubois.
Yeah.
You know, you've been standing on business for a while. Since before that, saying you don't want to see him on your TV.
Nope.
I mean, the guy just, you know, he looked terrible. And Leo Santa Cruz versus Abner Mares III. I mean, they're both 100 years old and well past their prime,
bro,
and well past where they were at their best as far as weight class. I don't know where this is going to be held. Do you?
When I saw 35? Who knows? When I saw this, do you want to know what I thought?
Tell me.
I thought that they had kids, like Fernando Vargas has kids. I thought that this
you
was.
You thought it was both their sons.
I thought it was their sons. I was like, yo, what the fuck? Yeah, isn't Abner Mares blind?
I mean, that one eye is yeah. I mean,
approved?
When he commentates, he wears shades because his eye looks that bad, in his opinion. I'm not saying that.
I'm
not saying that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to make fun of someone who has an issue like that. I can't remember really the last time I saw him without it. He had that one comeback fight.
Yes, a couple of years ago, and it was a draw, right?
Yes. So I guess I don't remember looking at him and being like, wow, that eye looks terrible. I mean, visually to me, you can look fine and it can be, you know, severely damaged.
Yeah, but I don't know.
This is one of those who wants to see this, but I'm not mad that they're tossing it. You know, if it's on the undercard, like
trying to just make some LA.
Yeah, they're Mexican fighters from that area.
Yeah,
and Mares, you know, he's from the projects over there. Yeah, so whatever, you know. I mean, they're trying to stack cards in a way that where it visually to you appears stacked.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a little bit of sleight of hand.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I agreed.
You know, there's a point in time where Leo Santa Cruz, Abner Mares, you know,
it would have been a huge fight.
I mean, the first one we were like, I want to see these guys fight. At the time, Leo Santa Cruz was throwing 900 punches around.
Right.
And Abner Mares looked, you know, other than that Johnny Gonzalez, when he got sparked out, like, yo,
that fight was a reference of it's a good reference. Johnny Gonzalez.
That was spelled incorrectly on his birth.
J-H-O-N-N-Y. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. B, let's continue on. Speaking of His Excellency Turki Alsheikh has declared he will try to make Terence Crawford versus Boots Ennis this year. He also revealed that he has plans in mind for both Canelo and David Benavidez, but but not fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
He said he wants Benavidez to challenge the Beterbiev Dmitry Bivol winner and would like to make Canelo versus Terrence Crawford. Now, him being behind this Bud fight in L.A., that starts becoming more realistic than you and I once thought.
And Bud Boots is becoming more realistic. So,
two fights that at a certain point, at least you and I, I'm not talking about the boxing world at large, you and I personally, to get texting each other or whatever, like, this not going to happen. You know, and now they're both like, this guy makes shit happen.
Right. And so does Eddie. So the day after Eddie Hearn signed Boots, Turki Alashiki put out that tweet with mm-hmm. just a picture of Boots, a mm-hmm. picture of Crawford.
Of Bud, yeah.
Right, right. So then you have him working directly with Eddie.
Yeah.
Matchroom's going to do this fight in L.A.
I feel very confident.
Eddie also made a cryptic statement where he said, I think that Boots will do, you know, paraphrasing, he can fight at 47 or 54, and I think he can beat Terrence Crawford. The next day, Turki Alashiki puts out the picture of Bud.
And then did you see Bud's response to that?
I didn't.
It's the little emoji where you're like rubbing your chin. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
I was reading, you know, this is them talking. We don't know, you know, people talk. It's what they do. Boots is saying he feels like he's going to end up at 75 when he's done. That he said, I'm going to be a 5-division champion. That's where I'm going to end up when I'm done.
Okay.
You know, what does that mean? I don't know. He's young. He's talking. He's got a bag now. He's got, he jumped from me and you being like, B, this guy's in trouble. His prime is slipping away, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I think now he's like, all right.
Things in front of him.
Right. You so know? I got the possibility of a guy who we're going to talk about a little later, of a fight with Virgil Ortiz is that mm-hmm. much more of a reality.
Oh my God, man. Just think about that.
Yeah.
At 54, where they're clearly saying he's going eventually.
Right.
He wants to make absolute noise at 47.
Right.
There's no rush because they're so young, you know?
Yeah. So Ortiz is we all wanted that fight at 47 2 years ago.
Yes, we did.
Now they're with the same promoter. And it looks like that could be, or not, I'm sorry, not the same promoter. They fight on the same network. Ortiz is with Golden Boy, correct?
Well, yes, he is. I just wanted to say that
Oscar works with everybody.
That's what I was going to get to. Regarding that, B, I think you and I both firmly believe we keep referencing the four companies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
You know, and then Turki Alashiki, and then along with that, I think you'll agree with me that we can go on record on Knock 'Em Out the Box as saying that we believe all of those guys are willing to work together except for Heyman and PBC. In my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I agree.
You know, I don't know if Eddie,
I also
Oscar
think
are the best of friends, but they're down to get money together, you know?
Right. I also think that this isn't, we have a fearless bankroll in Turki Alashiki. Instead of saying, I'm concerned about, which networks typically do, I'm concerned about pay-per-view buys or advertisement or this or that.
Yeah.
Turki Alashiki is like, okay, if I put these on where I'm from, if I put these fights on and we promote it right, we have an untapped resource of people that are going to tune in. And we also have the amount of money where we can put up and we're not worried about, you know, maybe losing a bit on this fight where we can gain on another fight down the road.
Sure.
So it's,
yeah, when you're,
and if I can bring all these other promoters together, we'll just get all the fights anyway. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's a big pool.
When you're making Usyk and Fury for the first lineal champion since Lennox Lewis, you're not really worried about, I might lose money on this Bud card
right.
in LA, you know, because we both think highly of Israel Madrimov, and he's a tough customer. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, Bud's got to get back in the ring. And I think you know, I'm not calling Israel Madrimov a soft touch by any means. But I want to get into, I guess that's why it's being fought with this, B. This gets hectic, and this gets very eye-rolly for you and I, what I'm saying next. The WBO are reportedly set to sanction Bud versus Madrimov to be for their WBO interim belt, as well as Madrimov's WBA super welterweight world title, and have now stated that they will order Sebastian Fundora to defend his WBO world title versus the winner, with fight to take place by December 31st. Okay, so here's what can happen here, okay? It looks like Bud's about to collect three belts within the next eight months.
If he wins,
but I do want to make a point here to talk about our guy. I mean, where does this leave Tim Tszyu, who did nothing to did nothing but take an elbow to the head, and now it seems like we're talking about three names and three titles, B.
And Fundora doesn't, you know, after getting his face broken and fighting on 12 days notice to win,
correct.
is now rewarded with the prospect of
fighting
Terence Crawford, or Madrimov.
Right.
By December, or losing everything.
Right.
You know, this is a guy whose face is broken so bad that he has to sit out until November. So
that's what I was going to say. You brought up last episode of the one before. Yo, this guy's out to at least November.
Out till November. That's what they said. Yeah. So
yeah. So, you know, what work
he's got to come right back.
Correct. I mean, we know he'll be in the, he'll be in the gym. But, you know, hard sparring, no way.
Right.
So when are you going to get that sparring in leading up to fight an animal?
Right.
You know, because, but look, if Israel Madrimov was to pull the upset up, I don't want to fight that guy either. That guy's a maniac.
Right.
So, exactly. You know, that's what's Sebastian Fundora's future is most likely, from what we're hearing and we're reporting. He's going to fight Terence Crawford or Israel Madrimov. And the best case scenario for him is he's fighting a healthy Tim Tszyu with no
Tim Tszyu.
That's his.
Yeah.
That's his fall or November, or December for him.
Right.
So in his head right now, he's like, I'm fighting Bud Madrimov or this Tim Tszyu maniac again without blood streaking down his face, who almost flew my head.
And I'm thinking Fundora's got, he's a warrior, bro. So
he is. And lastly, man, just we're obviously going to cover all of these individually, but just to remind you guys how great this year is shaping up, we're going to talk about this upcoming weekend's fights, as well as review this last weekend's fights. But after that, we have May 4th, Canelo Jaime Munguia. 2 days later, Inoue Luis Neri. The week after that, Lomachenko Kambosos. The week after that, Tyson Fury Usyk for all the marbles, the lineal guy, the first real guy since 03.
Lennox,
I think it's 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong with my time. When was Lennox, Klitschko, Vlad, or Vitaly? The bloody mess fight.
Yeah, and I think it was 2003. Right? Yeah.
Okay, so 21 years.
Yeah.
The week after that, Josh Taylor, Jack Catterall, rematch. The week after that, Beterbiev, Dmitry Bivol for all the marbles and the Queensberry match room, 5 versus 5. So, guys.
It's packed. It's boxing season.
It's boxing season.
It's playoffs.
Playoffs. All right. Let's get into this. Let's start with Arnold Barbosa, Sean McComb.
Bro. First of all, shouts to Sean McComb.
Yo, tough cookie.
Had him winning.
I'm not mad at that. I didn't score it. I always say to us, I always say, you know, to our supporters, that's what you and I, when we say score a fight, there's, we always are scoring it in our head.
Right.
But then there's the ones you write down.
I didn't write it down. I was out.
In my head, best case scenario for Barbosa, I had it a draw. We talk a lot on this show about people who are given an opportunity and a platform, and you got to show out when handed that opportunity. To me, regardless of the outcome of this, he shit the bed.
He's Barbosa?
Food, yeah, he's food for any of the guys he's talking about.
He's had 30 fights. I think he's, 30 years old?
Well, we 29. Talked about that, remember, leading up to it. We're like, it's time to do something with this guy. Hey, guess what? Sean McComb maybe showed us why they weren't doing something with this guy. Meaning, why is this guy this age with this many fights with no... Forget signature win. There's really no signature fight. Because
right. I'd like to see Sean McComb again.
Me too. I mean, you know, look, he came over here.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to lose. You know, according to... He was brought in to lose.
Right.
That's what I meant. You know?
Yes.
And he didn't. You know, whether we're going to talk about robbery or anything of that, he showed the world that he can fight.
Yeah, I'd like absolutely. To see him I like again. Him. I want to see him again.
Me too. Barbosa's not really fucking with anybody that's top tier.
No, and like the drop on Barbosa is that, you know, he's only got 11 knockouts, but he hits harder than that, if that makes sense. You know,
of course it does. Yeah.
I didn't see anything that was, to me... This is going to sound nitpicky, but like, I really haven't been impressed. I've been waiting to be impressed by Barbosa. And I haven't been. So, I mean, I'm looking through his box rec now, and I made note about, and I forgot to say this last week. He's got no 12 rounders. It's all his last bunch of fights are 10 rounders.
Mm-hmm.
So there's I don't know how well he'd do going 12. He don't look great going 10.
Yeah.
You know? So with that said, I mean, what are we doing here with this guy? Like, does he get elevated? Are we impressed by him? Because I'm sorry, I'm not. I'm not impressed by Barbosa.
Well,
yeah, the Pedraza fight was a 10-rounder. The Dungani fight was a 10-rounder. Danielito Zorrilla was a 10-rounder. Antonio Moran, 10-rounder. Alex Saucedo, 10-rounder. I mean
Zorrilla's got to be his best win, right? I mean, if you...
Yeah, I don't rate Pedraza anymore. I mean, he's just... He's become just food.
He's a gatekeeper, you know?
Right. Yeah.
He's a scalp that visually looks impressive, but if you follow the sport, you know that it's becoming less and less impressive.
Right.
I mean, look, man, some guys, this is what happens. They build up this record until the promoter feels like, okay, not necessarily it's time to get off the pot. Not that, but yo, when are we gonna feed this guy to a real guy? Because when we do, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, can we wiggle ourselves into a payday? Before that happens.
All right. So let's just look at the...
That's my opinion.
Right. So who does he fight? We would say Teofimo Lopez. I mean, a good Teofimo Lopez would beat him, right? Depending on what day.
Sure. Subraya Matias.
Matias.
Mops him up.
I guess at this point, I'd say Richardson Hitchens kicks his ass.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, you put him in there with like a pro gray. Right, to see where he's at in the 12-round fight.
I think that's a really good idea, and yeah, agreed.
I would say Gary Antoine Russell beats him. I would say, you know what else? I don't know. I don't know. The winner of Jack Catterall and Josh Taylor.
Sure, maybe something like that.
Right. I don't really see
I think you made two really good suggestions. in Ruguru, and the winner of Catterall Taylor is maybe, you know, because really he's food, in my opinion.
I think so too. And you know, it was kind of a letdown on the card. There's another guy that I didn't put on the, I think they're in the same camp is that Scrappy Ramirez guy lost.
Mm-hmm.
Scrappy looked crappy. I saw so many things on Twitter like Scrappy's not happy. Scrappy looked crappy.
I mean, you know, look,
Scrappy, what's up, Carnal?
We try to we walk that thin line we talk about where we joke and say someone stinks, but we know that that's not really what it means.
Yeah,
there's lots of guys. There's lots of he stinks talk going back and forth with B and I when it comes to Scrappy.
Right. But
this isn't the first time, by the way.
No, I'd like to see his opponent fight again.
Me too.
I liked him. Yeah.
Tough
David
guy.
David Jimenez.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Scrappy, yo, I don't know about you, but Scrappy looks like he wants to sell me scalp tickets to the
absolutely
next event,
absolutely.
Right? Like that dude looks like he's selling scalp tickets to like Journey 1981.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying. Like, and he's also like, "Yo, man, what's up? You want a party?"
Like he's like the Latino. Who's the Italian dude from Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Oh, Damone.
Yeah, he's like the Latino Damone.
He's Damone.
He is.
Yeah. Hey, Rhett. You know, take her out to dinner. Tell her it can't get much better than this. Yeah,
that's him. Look, man, you're big on saying I don't want to see this guy anymore. I'm stealing it. I don't want to see this guy anymore,
bro.
I've seen him too much already.
He just cracked like, and him and Barboza, I think, are they're friends or from the same camp area because there was the promotion. They were together like the whole time. So
okay.
Barboza gets one more shot with me.
They need
to put him in a fucking 12 rounder. They need to put him against another name right away.
I want to see him within 3 months, real guy, 12 rounder, and then we'll
decide.
Put our stamp or get out of here on him. Yeah, take a hike, kid.
Hit the fucking bricks. Whoa.
Let's talk about this main event, my guy.
I'm gonna let you talk about it because you are the great Pazzini. So you've been promoting your soundbite on various social media platforms, and I'm all here for it. So last week you famously said you paused. There was dramatic inflection in your delivery.
There was a purposeful pregnant pause, is what you're telling me?
I don't know. You're the great Pazzini. You tell us.
Right.
You tell us, Vince Radamus.
Look, man, you know, I had a feeling. I want to start this by saying that I didn't and I do not think highly of either one of these guys, regardless of what I said and regardless of what happened. And that's what I wanted to say at the top of the show when I said you guys might be interested in our takes on this fight. Because what is now happening, and regardless of who won, there's going to be, and there has been, talks of what comes next. And I still stand on business of what we've been saying, that both of these guys get mopped up by, you know, that it looks like Ryan certainly can't make 140. Okay, if he wants to do catch weights,
can we talk about that real quick, like the whole beer drinking thing on stage? So. Do you know, because I asked around, and maybe I should have done a little bit more research, was there one of these ceremonial weigh-ins before, actual weigh-ins before, and what they showed on stage was a ceremonial weigh-in where he drank?
I don't.
Okay, I don't either, and no one that I spoke to knew. I could probably find out and hope maybe I'll get back to you. If you guys are interested, write us at KOTB Boxing and I'll.
Well, look,
gmail.com.
A good friend of mine, Big Chris, you could see him actually the whole time with Ryan. You always can. You see him with Chavez, see him with lots of guys. He's Ryan's bodyguard. We spoke I never speak on the phone ever. I just text. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We spoke on the phone the morning after the fight for a while, a long while. And he told me a lot of stuff. Most of it, which I'm not going to say and, you know, violate someone's trust, especially with the job that he has. You know what I mean? But I can definitely find out if that was ceremonial or not from
yeah, if you can find that out. So it what sort of made me mad about it is that it does make a mockery of actual weight classes. You know, I thought that the I don't know if also the bet, the handshake bet that Haney and Ryan Garcia had for $500,000 per pound.
Right, which would be 1.5 million, I think. If they didn't make that side bet, it would have been 600K, I believe.
Yeah, I think this. He still had to cough up money. And it's also reported that Ryan Garcia bet $2 million on himself to get paid $12 million.
He also said he's going to put up $20 million for the kids in Gaza. I don't know if that's clout chasing.
Yeah, I mean, he also said he's fighting Errol Spence next. So
correct. And yeah,
I think he's still on this emotional.
Yeah, absolutely he is.
So real quick, do you think the whole thing leading up to this, as you said last week, Terry Funk says everything is a work. Do you think the whole thing was a work or do you think he's really sort of kind of nutty?
I think, you know, when you have a young boy that you know, it could be a cousin. A cousin's probably the best example. I could say younger brother, but I'll say a cousin. And you just, when you talk about him, you go, I love him, but he's a pain in the ass.
That's Ryan Garcia?
Yeah, that's Ryan Garcia. I think he's of sound mind, but I think he's got some of that generation's whatever that is.
And mixed with like a screw loose?
Yeah, sure. I'll take that. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
it would probably run in the family because his father seems like a fucking lunatic too.
Well, it's just, you know, there's like, I don't know. We didn't talk about this, which is very odd that we didn't. Were you up leading up to the fight? You ever see Barry McGuigan on Twitter?
No.
I mean, this guy was more vocal. This guy was more vocal than a passionate Teddy Atlas.
Barry McGuigan was.
Yeah, about how ridiculous it was that this fight was being allowed to happen and how Ryan wasn't going to get out of the first round. And really? How it's a disgrace and the sport, this is solidifying that the sport is over, that this fight is even happening. I can't believe that someone this mentally ill would be able to get into it. And I don't mean he said it once.
Right.
I'm talking, he's going back and forth. He's making these comments. Then fans are responding to the comments and he's digging his feet in further.
Right, right, right.
This would never happen here, he said multiple times, meaning the UK. This mm-hmm. would never happen here. This would never get, he would never get past the screenings here. Da, da, da.
Right, right, right.
Just, you know, 14 days, 21 days leading up to it. I'm like, then I start questioning myself and what I believe. You know what I mean?
Right, 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 right.
Working to a degree, mm-hmm. you know? And when you ask me, like, all right, so if your question is to me, was he working the whole time? To a degree.
Right.
You know, I think he's a little bit, he's a little bit of a crazy kid, but I think a lot of it was working. You know, if someone told me, you know, if I asked Big Chris, yo, does he watch wrestling? And he said, yeah, I'd be like, oh, okay. Like he's
right.
He's, you know,
or is, you know, is, I mean, he's got a guy who's been on both sides of the coin, who knows how to sell a fight with him. You know, Oscar could be being like, yo, hey, try this, do this.
I mean, Bernard grabbed a Puerto Rican flag in Puerto Rico, threw it down, and stepped on it.
So well, did you see what Bernard did at the decision?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right in the Haney's face.
Yes. I mean, it's, yeah, man. So I guess, you know, if we want to talk about the fight, we talked about it. You talked about it because I flat out asked you, yo, why don't you tell me what my issue is with Devin Haney?
Mm-hmm.
And you did, and you're not wrong. But I, you know, what I said and what we've said You know, he throws a nice 1-2. He clinches. I've been telling you guys since the show started, I don't know how many lost episodes there are of the 75, maybe like 13 of them we did.
No, it's like eight. It's like eight.
Okay. So, all right. So if I've said many, 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 many times, I know people who were there at the gym when he was out cold. An old Jorge Linares had him on fucking Queer Street. Absolutely right. Dictionary definition of Saved by the Bell. If there was another, I'm not going to say another minute. If there was another 30 seconds, he would have been cooked then.
If you guys follow me on Twitter, I retweeted old tweets that I had from 2021 when he fought Jojo Diaz. And I said, if he fights a puncher, he's going to get knocked out. And I mean, I actually described what he...
So while you're looking for your tweet, when I posted that clip, that audio clip from our show, a kid said to me, and don't forget that you said, now this was either before or after the Loma fight, but around that time, I was like, he's not gonna get more than a couple fights before his first out being sparked out.
Right.
I didn't remember saying, I mean, I know I thought it, but I don't remember saying it. And I basically wrote a dissertation on Haney a couple fights of his ago on Instagram and Twitter. It was so long that I had to, no Diddy, that I had to like type it in my email and then screenshot it and post that because it was so wordy that it wouldn't.
Right, you know right, right. Yeah, like, yeah.
And this is all, it all came to fruition. Did I think, you know, that I'm trying to think of when, you know, I thought the wheels would fall off. And I it was kind of what I said about Wilder, where I said, you know, after the three beatings he took from Fury, where I said, B, you know, when he gets back in there, it's just a matter of time, you know, and I'm trying to think of who I thought was going to do this with Haney, because I do think that Garcia's power is overrated.
Ryan
Garcia. And that has, did I not say that? Did I not say Garcia?
I think, yeah.
My bad.
No.
I think he has good pop. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying he can't punch. I'm not saying that. We've talked about how he does everything wrong, technically speaking, you know? Going into this, I said, I think he's more naturally talented. I think he's faster and I think he's got more pop.
It was really clear the difference in speed when you saw them actually fight.
Yes. And especially during the few exchanges.
Yeah.
And,
Just real quick, here's what I said almost 3 years ago. I said Diaz wasn't a big punch, again, in reference to the Jojo Diaz-Devin Haney fight. Yes. Diaz wasn't a big puncher, two divisions south, and was hurting Haney. Haney hangs his entire face past his lead shoulder, leaves his hands below his chin. He doesn't move his head off the line either. That was what I said 3 years ago.
Yeah, I wish I could find the stuff I wrote. But again, it's the same as yours. It's like 2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
It's somewhere on my IG, but I had to find it. But yeah, all of that.
He hasn't corrected anything.
But here's the thing.
You got to blame the father.
Yeah, of course.
The trainer.
But B, we believed all of these things would be exploited. It was whether or not this kid was going to be the one to do it.
I didn't think so. And you did.
Well, look, I just had a feeling. But me knowing how chinny he was. Me talking about how chinny he was met with, well, what are you basing this on? You know, why? Everyone gets hurt, et cetera, et cetera. This is boxing. And the people I know these guys,
right?
Okay, that have been around, when he was getting mopped up in sparring, Bill would literally jump up on the ring apron and stop it.
Mm-hmm.
That is factual. It right. is factual that he got sparked. It's enough time now from when it happened where the person who told me this, it can't be traced back to them because it's been a long enough time. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah.
It was Keandre Gibson who had him on Queer Street in sparring. Keandre Gibson's not a big puncher by any means, you know, and he certainly.
And this was how many years ago? Years ago, right?
I mean, not so many years ago that Devin was nobody then. Because when you say right. things like this, they go, oh, things happened in sparring or, oh, he was 12.
No, not to this extent.
No, he yeah. wasn't. But Devin Haney was a name fighter when this happened.
Mm-hmm.
He was a name fighter at 35 and had some names under his belt as far as fighting them when this happened.
Right.
And Keandre Gibson flew his head. Then I saw what it saw. I go, okay, this guy's chinny. Okay, all right. You know, keep that in the back of your mind. Then Linares, who was older, you know, always a good puncher, great fighter, really good fighter. Beat a lot of good guys, you know, good fighter. Came back, looked like his career was over, had a second career after right. that when we was written off. Beat good guys, champion multiple times. You know, he was over the hill and he almost got Haney out of there. I was waiting for this to happen, whether or not either one of us thought it was going to be now. Mm-hmm. It, you know, it seemed like no one thought this was going to be the one, but no one else thought the way we did, whether that is your tweets and posts or my tweets and posts. For me, this show, we looked at Devin Haney. If you want me to give a brief synopsis of how we looked at him and his future, it was a matter of time.
Yes.
He does too many things wrong. And add being chinny into there, you do those things wrong and you got a granite chin, you're always hanging around. You do those things wrong and you punch like a mule, you're always hanging around.
Right, you're hanging around. He can't punch either.
We can officially start putting him into that category where you go, no, this guy's got, he's feather fisted. He can officially be put into that.
Right. You know? He's going to.
I think he's done.
I concur.
I think he's done.
I think that they let him take that fight. Okay, let's just get into the fight. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
All right. So, the great Pazzini, what were you feeling like when you were watching the fight? In the first round, they come out, Ryan Garcia hurts Devin Haney in round one.
Well, look, one thing our listeners know is we were never high on either one of these guys as far as...
No, I think Ryan Garcia is food for anybody halfway decent if he's moving up to 47.
That's why I think this is going to be an interesting show or a breakdown of said fight.
Yeah, all right.
Because there's very much this... What now and what huge fights can be made? Right. I'm like, all right, guys. All
yeah,
right.
You want to see Ryan Garcia, you know. With that said, Ryan Garcia, if it's Derek James or Ryan Garcia himself, he hooks really nicely off the jab. Even if the jab doesn't land, it's a great decoy that he's added to his mm-hmm. arsenal because he was really just a left hook guy.
Yeah.
And he had a good right hand. I said it on the last show.
His
right hand is underrated. Now his jab, which he doesn't use all that often, but when he does use it to hide the hook, it's a really nice little wrinkle for him. He hangs his hand out there, which he's quick enough, you know, to get it back mm-hmm. for defense. He does this bizarre, which Devin Haney did not exploit. And I was there with my normal crew of trainers and pros.
Yeah.
Where he gets into this weird Philly shell. He did it against Oscar Duarte too. If you even want to call it a Philly shell, I'm going to call it like a, it's not a Philly shell. I'm going to call it like an Allentown shell.
Yeah. Because I don't know what it is.
It's bizarre. He basically just turned his back.
Yeah. And, that's it. There you go. You know, that's the Allentown shell.
That's the
Scranton shell.
Just pick another city in Pennsylvania. Yeah,
the Scranton shell is to just turn your back on your opponent.
Right, the Delco shell.
Your defensive technique is to just turn your back to the guy.
So the folks who I was with were screaming hook to Haney. Mm-hmm. You know, like they're screaming out instruction, hook him, you know, just yeah. blast away with yeah. hooks into, you know, just like you're hitting the bag at that point.
Yeah.
Haney was throwing right hands into the left side of his body, and they were, it was like when my daughter gets annoyed with me if I take away her toys when it's bedtime, mm-hmm. you know, and she has a temper tantrum. That's what it looked like. He wasn't hurting him, doing anything significant. I think if he had, you know, kind of put some money behind a hook, Devin Haney may have had a little bit more success. But round one, Garcia lands a hook and wobbles Haney.
Badly.
A hush over the crowd.
I just want to say, badly. He didn't get clipped, and he's right back. He was badly hurt.
Right. Haney makes it out of the round. He comes back, which we've seen Haney hurt. Mm-hmm. Now you at home, because me at home, I said, all right, look, he composed himself. Because mm-hmm. he came out, he won the set. And then he was at the second or third round where he hurts Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which guys should be a little bit of a tell for the future.
Thank you. Thank
so 135 pound guy.
Right.
He hurts Garcia. Garcia immediately reacts with bravado, you know, so both of these guys.
Punches his gloves and smiles.
Yeah. Right.
Guys, in boxing language, that means that hurt.
That means that hurt. So Haney, for all the criticism, did hurt Garcia.
He did.
You know, came back, hurt him back. And the rest of the, up until the seventh round where the knockdowns happened, which is where we'll pick up, right, was, I thought, pretty methodical. Haney doing what he does, not jabbing enough for my money, if it's Devin Haney, right? We talked about this on the last show. Haney should have been throwing, like, if I'm Haney, I'm throwing like 80 jabs around.
Yeah,
you know I mean?
If
I'm also moving laterally. Why was he trying to walk? He was very square this fight. I don't know if I've ever seen him this square. Did he not look uncoordinated to you when he came out in round one?
There was lots of what is this guy doing going on in my head.
Weird, like, right? Like his shoulders were contorted differently. Am I just seeing that, or, you know?
No, you're not just seeing that, but you're also seeing it's
what was there too much machismo on Haney's part here?
That could be part of it. The fact that realistically, this is the first guy his size that he's ever fought. Realistically.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, this isn't fucking sour grapes. It's just a legitimate point. Let's not forget when Loma won the one fight at MSG and Haney got in the ring for them to, you know, sort of.
Loma makes a comment and says,
This is lightweight? I mean,
this looked like middleweight.
That night, of course, because he wasn't making weight for a fight. That night, it looked like fucking Beterbiev or something standing next to Lomachenko.
Correct. Also, Haney's last fight against Progre, he reportedly gained, you know, the day after the fight in between.
Yeah, when he rehydrated.
To 165.
Right. Now you're talking about right there alone, you're talking about a super middle, you know?
Correct.
So imagine.
And another guy in Ryan Garcia, who I checked because there was a glaring difference in size. I didn't realize how much bigger Garcia is than Haney, right?
Yeah.
Because Haney always looks so much bigger against 135-pound lightweights.
Of course.
Then he fights arguably the smallest 140-pounder.
Of those guys, right.
In Progre. So you're like, all right, you know, he's fitting into this weight at 140 nicely. Sure. Now against Garcia, I said to myself, wow, this is now the guy that's another former 135-pound guy looks massive.
Yeah.
Well, the same age.
The tank tweet was pretty funny, too.
Yeah, what did he say? This is what happens when you fight guys your size?
See what happens when you fight guys your own size or something to that effect, you know?
Okay, good. Yes. Now Haney is fighting a guy his size. Or bigger, you know. Garcia to me looked huge compared to him, and he's trying to walk him down. Why is he not moving laterally and doing what he does normally. Also, and again, Haney at 35 always looked like shit making weight. He looked like shit again making weight at 40. Now, you know, 5 pounds heavier, he's supposed to look better making weight. He didn't look good on Friday.
Right.
I'm not saying any of that had any effect. The point I'm making is, Haney looked strange to me on Saturday. I don't know if the moment got him. It hasn't in the past. With that said, the strategy to me was bizarre, to take this approach with Garcia and just keep taking it to him. Also, after that first round, again, like you and I said, Haney got hurt. Haney should have been jabbing. Just jabbing, 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 jabbing.
You said 80. I don't know how he's not throwing 50 jabs around.
Right.
You know, that should have been the game plan regardless of what happened.
Right. I'm obviously exaggerating through saying 80, but yeah, a lot of fucking jabs around.
You know what, man? When people were asking me on social media what happened or how did this happen, I just reverted back to, I know this isn't specific analysis, it's just a general statement, but I wasn't surprised by the outcome, but I'm not surprised to see two guys who I don't think are superb prize fighters not fight superbly.
Okay.
When I talk about it being a matter of time, it's like if you are someone who doesn't support Ryan Garcia and he got sparked clean out by Tank, you go, see? I told you so. When someone, you know, I think Devin Haney, again, reiterate, throws a nice 1-2, clinches a lot, you know, no power. He's really not good defensively.
No,
they're selling that.
His hands stay so low, and his head is
on the line. He doesn't, bro. You know when we talk about those plotting, come forward type guys who don't move their head, you think of a Mickey Ward, bro. Like he moves his head as much as Mickey Ward,
or like to a worse example because of how good he was. But like Triple G, the knock on Triple G is like, dude, get the fuck out of the way.
Yeah. But, or Chavez, maybe, you know?
Yeah,
you know, you
right.
Well, we're also, I will look, not to defend not moving your head. There is no defense. But Golovkin and Chavez could get hit with a sledgehammer and walk through it.
They had chins of steel.
You better have brilliant head movement.
What is this guy doing?
He's not that good. These things happen where you go, how is this person going to get exposed? I called him Jeff Lacy 2.0.
I like that.
How does, and I wrote minus the power because Lacy could erase it with that.
Right.
He basically got Joe Calzaghe, you know, except it's okay. I wish I had this brilliant chalkboard analysis of what happened. Well, just maybe, as I've said on the show, that in my opinion, he had the easiest way to undisputed since Floyd beat Baldemir, who beat Zab. So you played frontsies, backsies, because this guy pulled something off. Well, hey, guess what? He didn't pull something off. He got a gift. He's 1-2 in his last three fights.
And again, I said on the last show, I don't know how anybody could find 7 rounds for him against Loma.
No, it's impossible.
It's impossible. Best case,
yeah, I mean, look. He lost to Lomachenko. He beat Ruguru. You and I have said, we'll decide later how good that win was or how it wasn't. If Ruguru comes back, fights, and beats up a real guy, we'll go, oh, it's a nice win for Haney. Like I said, I wish I had this beautiful blackboard breakdown of, well, here's what he does when he's walking into left hooks that anyone can see coming. I don't care how fast his hands are.
What the fuck? Was it like a suicide mission? Like, I can't.
How your right hand is not glued to your head. That's, I mean, I'm being serious when I say, bro, Of course, speed kills. Ryan Garcia has very fast hands, you know, not taking away nothing from his speed. He's right. A fast kid. You could see those hooks coming from a mile away, and other people have, you know.
Right. The only thing that Ryan Garcia, and I want to credit Derek James with this, and if anybody has any inside information that I'm wrong, what Garcia was doing this time was where I think I mentioned last show, he would hitch before he throws his hitch. His hitch now is to put the jab out.
Correct. He was throwing his shots from his hips.
Right. And now if you look when he was like in the press conference, like where they kind of squared up and his hands have been up now. So I think Derek James was like, look, do everything you're doing. Start here.
Yeah.
As opposed to low. Because he was getting, because I said on the last show, I said, if Haney's smart, as soon as he hitches, right? That's his tell.
Yeah.
Throw the jab. You have a fast enough jab to just sneak the jab in there. Don't even have to be hard. Haney didn't do that. It was just a front foot, like you said, like a, trying to be like a pace setter, plotting jab. So I don't, Vinny, to me, the Haney's didn't have a strategy. And by the way, if anybody can write into KEOTB boxing at gmail.com. And I've asked this about a few boxing dads on this show. What is Bill Haney's background in boxing? Okay. Did he have other fighters? Like, for instance, like, you know, we don't think he's that skilled, but Sean Porter was a decorated amateur and Kenny Porter was like trained a shitload of contemporaries.
Yeah, tons of kids.
That's why they all know Kenny Porter. He was you know, U.S. national trainer. So Kenny Porter trained Keith Thurman on a national amateur level.
Right.
You know, he trained his son. There's a myriad of guys. Kenny Porter's been in the game forever. You know, everybody knows Kenny Porter. Is Bill Haney like is his only charge Devin?
You also have to go to
He's training, I guess, Alicia Bumgarner now, but again, I don't know who else.
Look, man.
Boxing dads, bro.
Yeah. Trainers, look. How do I want to say this, man? These types of situations, okay? This is when the trainer and the fighter prove who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was time to find a plan B and a plan C, and it was time for this kid to turn it up and go for broke, he got his jaw broken. He got dropped 3 times, wobbled once, and was absolutely, I was just going to say absolutely, because I'm starting to get angry. I was going to say it mad loud while I was yelling, but I just had to calm myself down. Absolutely, that fight ends in the 10th round if it's not for Harvey Dock. No question.
Bro.
There was, in my opinion, minimum 2, maybe 3 more knockdowns.
Three more knockdowns. I counted 3 more knockdowns.
Agreed.
How do you not score those as knockdowns? Agreed. A punch was thrown, a punch was landed, the guy went down. What was he slipping on? His fist?
Correct.
Yeah, he's slipping on Ryan Garcia's fist?
Right. If your feet are tangled and you get hit with a hook, that's a knockdown.
That's a knockdown.
Guys.
Right.
When you go down from a shot.
In my opinion, that fight should have been a TKO.
I think it should have been stopped in the 10th. I believe anyone else refereeing it would have stopped it in the 10th. We've both spoken about liking Harvey Dock before.
Yeah, I like him.
This looked, it was getting to the point, in my opinion, where I started saying something's off here. He also, by the way, I believe Devin's clinching should have, forget this fight. When you establish something, like Holyfield leading with the head, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, all time great. It's just a fact. You know what I mean?
It was his third fist, as people referred to it.
Absolutely, it was. When you establish things, there should be very little leeway when those things are established. Mm-hmm. It has not been established by any referee as far
it's a foul.
It is, but he has always done it.
Right. So,
so you have to establish.
He did it here and stifled Garcia's offense quite a bit.
But Garcia got a point taken away
for hitting on the break with no warning.
Correct. With no warning.
Strange.
There was strange goings on. In my opinion,
to me, Doc Harvey Doc, I tweeted this. If you guys follow me, Harvey Doc's had a great run, and I've commented time and time again, like how he's getting every big assignment, you know. It's time to put Harvey Doc on a few undercards for a while.
The way you worded it was perfect. Your tweet was perfect.
Give him a break. Don't do away with him. We're not saying he's Lawrence Cole over here. You know what I mean? But this happened. This happened to Kenny Bayless. This happened to Joe Cortez. This happened to a lot of. It happened to Frank Cappuccino. It happened to everybody. You have a couple bad nights. They have a bad night, and you're under a microscope.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, they're human beings.
They're human beings. And one of the knocks, though, on, and this goes. I'm not going to name names, but one of the knocks on Harvey Doc historically is, and one of my friends, Harvey Doc wouldn't stop the fight if you were on fire. He'd hand you a can of gasoline. You know what I mean? To put the fire out. Harvey Doc has a history in lesser fights of letting fights go a little too long. By the way, that has also been attributed to Arthur Mercanti Jr., where I've been ringside at fights screaming his first name, Arthur, stop this fucking fight. And I've seen him talk to guys and be like, can you go? And I'm looking at the guy like, blah, 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 mm-hmm. And I'm like, he obviously can't. And he lets the guy go back out there.
Yeah. Well, this is just an aside. I'm going right back to you. Sometimes what happens is people flip in the other direction and start pulling the cord way too quick.
Tony Weeks.
Yeah.
Right. We've seen that with Tony Weeks. But rest in peace, Steve Smoger. The knock on Smoger was, he would let fights go on too long.
Yeah, I mean, it's my opinion that he was his generation's best ref, but I mean.
Smoke, yeah.
He let him bang, no, did he?
He let him, but there was times where you're like, all right, Steve, come on. Harvey Doc, the one universal criticism from guys I know that have worked with Doc for a long time is that he lets fights go on too long. I think this was one of those scenarios where, again, Harvey Doc is a Brooklyn guy too, by the way. I don't know if I can't imagine the event getting to him because he's done bigger events.
Sure.
I just think this was a bad night. And you know what, bro? Only the great Pazzini expected this. So maybe Harvey Doc is saying, like, holy shit. You know what I mean? Like, I got to give this kid a chance.
Right. That's a very good point.
I didn't expect this.
He's supposed to win. He's the guy.
Right.
He's the young gun.
Right.
That's you. And maybe 35. If
Harvey Doc listened to Knock Him Out the Box podcast and had heard what the great Pazzini had, had predicted, what Vince Stradamus had said, maybe he would have been, that would have been in his ear, and he would have been, you know what? Maybe I got to stop this.
What do you think about the picture of the great Pazzini that I sent you?
I don't know why that's not our logo. I think that should be on T-shirts, trading cards.
It'll be on the IG.
I want it on the side of 18-wheelers, going up the turnpike. I think, to be honest with you, when Billy finally takes this podcast worldwide, mm-hmm. And we go on our tour.
Right.
When we do it from our studio that looks like a boxing ring, mm-hmm. I want that to be the canvas. Mm-hmm. I want that to be painted on the canvas. Is the
Irish great, Billy? Have you seen the picture of the great Pazzini?
The great Pazzini?
No, I haven't.
Would you like to?
I would actually love to.
Mm-hmm. I might have to get it tatted on my chest. Mm-hmm. No, did he?
How about shirts?
You keep bragging about this. this. I want to look, we're spitballing on air right now.
Right.
So
oh my God.
I want the shirt, and then on the back across the shoulder blades, I want to say, put your mortgage up.
All right.
I've seen it. Are you kidding me? It's my kid's wallpaper now in their bedroom.
Right.
Uncle Vinny is the great Pazzini.
Uncle Vinny, a.k.a. the great Pazzini.
Can we post this on the page?
We're going. Yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah, it's got to be on the page.
It's got to. We need the right music is what we're worried about. I got to put the right music.
So the
like
seventh round.
I think it should be like bad 70s game show music, Bill. You know, like.
Well, it's got to be a segment.
Right.
But. The seventh round comes. We're getting in the weeds here. The seventh round comes.
Yeah.
Knockout comes. What went through your head when you saw that? Were you just like, "Yep"?
So I'm definitely. Well, another thing. Look, we're talking about it, so let's talk. I'm very concerned with, what I see as Garcia's inability to finish off a wounded fighter.
I'm saying before the knockdown, you're watching the fight and you're like, all right, Devin looks like he's cruising now, right? Everybody's going, all right, he's winning these rounds. It's uneventful. Ryan's not throwing enough punches, right? I'm sure you're saying this.
Sure. I'm not thinking the word cruising.
They go to the trainers. Mannix goes to the trainer. They say, all right, Bill, what are you?
Maybe one of the greatest moments in boxing history.
You know, what did he say? We're up.
And that's when the hook lands.
The hook lands. Night.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he blinded him with that. He threw the jab. Haney pulls straight back, hands down. Mm-hmm. And he comes behind the jab with the hook. And that was it.
If he threw that jab more, he would have gotten him out of there within six. What he needs to do, because what starts happening with guys that have a signature punch is they fall in love with it.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand that, bro. If I had a bomb in one of my hands, like, you know, like some of these guys do, mm-hmm. and there's a signature punch, I get it. What he should be doing is doing what you said earlier. He doesn't throw the jab. He did in these times that we're specifically focusing on, but he doesn't consistently pop the jab out there. If he throws a jab with the right hand, if he throws a 1-2-3, he would have got him out of there. Jab, right hand blinds him, the left hook, he's out of there within six.
Right.
So there's just as much. Guys, this fight was, he beat the dog shit out of Devin Haney. This fight, it should have ended. He should have stopped him. I worry about his ability to not kill a wounded animal. He allows himself he allowed Haney to clinch, continue to clinch. He didn't know how to create distance and rip a shot and rip an uppercut to a dude who is starting to deteriorate and fold over in the literal sense. He's leaning forward, create a little space, rip an uppercut, it's over. The guy if he worked the jab more like you wanted him to and I want him to, work the jab more. The right hand that we think is a solid right hand blinds him. Even if he eats it, it blinds him, and then the left's right behind him because his hands are fast. So if he threw a 1-2-3, that fight would have been over. That's one. Moving forward, he doesn't know how to kill a wounded guy. He smothers his shots. Absolutely. He should be fighting like Tommy Hearns. You get a guy that's, a little bit tall for their weight class. And we talk about guys who smothered them shots, Chico Corrales, Paul Williams.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't do that. But again, this isn't a guy that we think is, he's a star because he's a good looking kid, social media, all of that stuff. He's proven to sell a promotion.
He should really watch Alexis Arguello. A lot of it, and
it's a great Hall of Fame fighter right there.
Right. That's who he should be watching. Any tall guy like that, you watch a guy like Arguello, arguably the best 1-2 ever, like you mentioned Hearns.
Mm-hmm.
My only issue with watching a guy like Hearns is Hearns was so athletic.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah, so true, it's you're almost like,
but Ryan's athleticism is not bad. Nothing to shake a stick at. I mean, he's more athletic than Haney, but we saw.
I'd like to see Garcia's feet are, again, I said it last episode. Slow feet, fast hands.
You did. He should be doing what you said word for word.
Doing some agility drills would. I just don't think this guy trains.
No,
I don't think this kid trains. I think he sits there and punches that, you know, let's just keep it a
fucking rack, bro. This wasn't a fight between the two best guys in this division.
No, right.
This is
right.
There's guys that we right now, excuse me, not a lot of thinking, will pack them both up.
Right.
Subriel Matias, that's our guy. You know what I'm saying? That's our guy. So he'll spark them both out, both clean out.
Bro, he beats the shit. He beats the shit out of both of these dudes.
Correct.
Subriel Matias.
Correct.
I don't give a shit if Ryan Garcia weighs 160 pounds at the weigh-in. Matias fucks him up.
I think something, man, you know, like we are being long-winded, but that's what we're covering on this show. We'll keep the preview short, but there's something problematic here with the weight too, because we both think he gets packed up by average guys at 47, meaning Ryan Garcia.
Yeah.
So you're saying you can't make 40? Okay, no problem there. Humans are humans. 43. Are you just gonna fight at a catch weight for the next what? He's a kid, right? 25.
He's 25, same age as Garcia. But yeah, okay. He's got to put the reflex bag. That's that bag he always hits on social media. Put that shit away.
Yeah.
Put the reflex bag away and work on agility drills. This is me with my trainer hat on.
Okay, but I want you to tell me what you think. Is he just going to fight at 144? Seven years?
Brother, I don't think this kid is controllable. I don't think that there is his father's a fucking jerk off, another boxing dad asshole. Yeah, I think what we're going to see, he already said he wants to take time off.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, the great Pazzini, I don't think, again, I think your predictions go beyond just the actual fight. I think you're predicting what his future is going to be without trying to predict it.
He is a sideshow. I think they have to really think, B.
Bro, had he made weight, he'd be a world champion.
Correct. I think these two boneheads in Haney and Garcia and their boneheaded teams need to think about, are we our best opposition? And do we want to do this 2 and 3 times? Because what else is out there for us that's not bad? Unless you start doing freak show shit. Like, what do you think that a hydrated Ryan Garcia does against Tank? Does he get parked same way, amount of time?
Same way.
So, you know, they brought that up if you saw the presser. I'll do it at 145 or whatever, but you know, blah, 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 blah. So he goes to 47, right?
Yeah.
It's so top heavy, as we've spoken about, you know what I mean? And Bud is seemingly gone, unless, you know, there was to be some monster payday, and there isn't
No, but I did say this privately to some friends when they said, like, oh, because they were talking about the Bud Boots thing. Mm-hmm. And I said, look, if His Excellency Turki Alashiki says, I want this fight in Saudi at 147 pounds, and there's a significant amount of money involved, Bud's making 147 pounds.
All right, I'll agree with that. But what I'm saying is, when you talk about 47, all we've been talking about for the past however long now, 18 months, is like, it was mega top heavy. It was top heavy with Bud and Spence. They're gone now. It was top. Then it became the young guns, Boots and Virgil Ortiz. Ortiz is already gone, and Boots is talking about being gone. So if Ryan goes up there and it's just a dead division, and there's vacant belts, maybe he can pick up a, you know, he's not, bro. You think that kid's beating Stanionis? No. Stanionis will eat his food. He's food.
Right. Yeah, dude.
The top end of 140 eats his food. You know, Haney.
I agree. Look, and they're talking about Garcia Spence.
Look, man,
where?
I mean, where? What world?
Yo, Mario Barrios, Ryan Garcia would be fun.
Great fight. Great
I
fight.
I would take that. I said.
I think these Twitter, two should fight each other three times once, and retire.
Once we get the sales, they didn't release pay-per-view sales yet, right?
No, I looked and didn't see the okay. numbers yet.
Once they release the sales, we'll see where Ryan Garcia winds up. If this thing did a shitload of buys, Ryan Garcia is not going to take much time off. You know what I'm thinking, bro? And this goes into the Jarrell Big Baby Miller files.
Mm-hmm.
About Broner. Ryan Garcia, Adrian Broner.
Oh, what I mean, would, can you imagine the
what
the
would
build
the
up?
That yes. Bro.
Broner supposedly has a fight in Miami on the books. If he gets by whatever guy they're putting him in there with, why not make that in August? You know
what I'm saying? Like,
especially with what you're saying, because Ryan did say he was taking off a little bit of time. Right. So why not put him in there with a guy like Broner? There would be a shit show, a side show.
A shit show.
Yeah, complete. Yeah. I mean,
would you watch it?
Absolutely, I would. Me absolutely, too. I would. I'll tell you why. We talk about, do we agree too much with each other? And do we share too much of a boxing mind? And there's a couple people, well, you know, we're talking about Jarrell Miller. In my brain, I'm still like, Broner can still be good.
See, I'm not saying that. I'm saying.
No, I know you're not. That's what I'm saying. We disagree. I think that.
What I'm saying is Broner, to your point, though, is good enough.
Is good enough.
To beat Ryan Garcia, I think.
So do I. So
and
do
he's
I.
got a good chin.
So sturdy. Sturdy chin. Sturdy
and he's,
chin.
And he's nuts.
He's batshit crazy.
And so is Garcia. So can
and,
you
and let's look he and
I say no drug test. Do yeah. that shit, no drug test.
I say supply the drugs. Do you know when they do the testing, B, Nevada? And I say instead of taking test, they give them drugs during
mandatory drugs.
Mandatory drugs.
You have to be on drugs for
you
this.
You have
fight.
To be on cocaine.
I don't care what you're on.
Yeah,
it's
well,
too.
I think one should do cocaine. And
I,
one
I
do
want. Yeah, I want. I want like a Thunderdome esque.
Sure, I'll take that.
So like
too.
You choose that. You choose your drug of choice beforehand.
To one man leave.
And yeah, and you choose your drug of choice beforehand, and that's your. Billy likes
it. We're two mental patients on this show. We like Adrian Broner, Ryan Garcia.
That's the next fight I want to see.
Look,
Broner Garcia.
Look, I think if you are the Haney camp, you piss and moan and cry about the 3 pounds to get the rematch, and that you're looking at me with a crazy face. Okay,
because I
where
don't
else
think
do you go. Where else well, do you go? Well, oh, do you fight for, a guy like Sander Martin? You know?
They're going to have to rebuild a little bit, figure out what they want to do. I don't think it's a good idea for them to go back after Ryan Garcia for two reasons. One, he's not – he – bro, he holds the chips because it's all about money.
Oh, no. You're, he is the – you know, they talk face of boxing shit. Ryan Garcia, after getting beaten by him, is now a bigger name than Tank.
Right. Right. Everyone like – right. Everyone's like forgetting that – Tank beat the hell out of him.
Yes.
Bloodied up his face.
Parked him.
Supposedly broke his ribs, knocked
him
down.
Parked
him. Also, I will say this about Tank. Now, I don't necessarily always subscribe to all this. Oh, he was drained and he had no power and this and that. Blah, 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 blah. He was able to rehydrate. He had more than almost 36 hours to rehydrate. He hit Tank with that exact same left hook.
He did.
Tank went.
He did. He ate it. He ate it.
Right.
There's right. You know, there's some stuff.
That little motherfucker has a chin on him.
He does. Tank. And we're going to have to eventually start looking at some of Tank's wins and how good they look. You know, I don't mean right now and tonight.
Right. Well, I are just mad that. Not mad.
No, Tank we're mad. He should be fighting guys.
Absolutely. Tank is like wasted talent.
He is. And he's not getting younger. Will that Mario Barrios win look better if Barrios starts, you know,
right,
putting some wins together?
He's got a fight coming up, doesn't he?
I think he does. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
We have to start reevaluating some of those wins, you know? Right. Eventually. Like, let's say Garcia takes a fight with Teofimo Lopez next and gets knocked out cold. Then you don't.
What the fuck would that lead up be?
Can you imagine?
Bro, they're dads?
Can you imagine?
Someone might get shanked.
And you know, being married to a Latina within the Latino community, there's beef.
Oh, there's going to be mega beef.
You got Honduran Mexicans
fighting with Mexicans, New York, LA.
Yes, this one's calling this one names that I'm, you know.
Barrios is on the Canelo Munguia undercard.
Oh, that's great.
Fabian Maidana, Marcos Maidana's little brother.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, yeah.
That means. That means Marcos Maidana.
We get to see Chino.
I call him Chino the Don, because that dude is the coolest cat.
That motherfucker's got the cigar, the silk shirt.
Yo, the fucking gold, solid gold Rolex.
Yeah.
That guy is every trope, like every new money trope.
Absolutely.
In the world, and I'm just here for all of it.
I'm in. Is he fat again?
He's like chubby. I want to be in for Halloween.
But remember, he was planning a comeback.
Yeah.
He was planning a comeback. I saw him in the gym and he looked great for his age. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, Chino looks good. And then I saw stuff after that. And I was like, wait, are these old pictures or he got fat again? But I think he got fat again. Nice. I mean, which he deserves. Bro, like, there's no heat ever for me with fighters who do that. Like, people murder Prince Ahmed. Like, bro, he was cutting weight since he was a child.
Right. He just looks terrible. Like, that's my,
That's my
guy. I'm like worried about him.
That's my guy.
More than anything. You know what I mean? Like, he just doesn't look.
No. I mean, if you get unhealthy, I don't want that for these guys. Like, you know, Duran got unhealthy.
Right.
And then he lost it, you know, and he looks great.
Yeah. I mean, he just had some heart issues, Duran.
Let's wrap this up because I reiterated like three times. I wish I had, more interesting analysis for you guys, but that was my analysis. It's just two flawed guys.
Right. You know, who got in there. Sometimes it's fun. And it was fun the other night.
It was fun as shit. And by the way, guys, when we say Haney's done, we mean he's done. We don't mean like you're not going to see him again. We both think you legit might never see Errol Spence again. That's our opinion, that we might never see him again.
The kind of beating that Haney sustained is not good physically and mentally. So
agreed.
I will say this, Devin Haney does seem to have mental dexterity. I can't say the same about Ryan Garcia yet.
Right.
If Haney comes back and looks sharp in his next two or three fights, I'll be surprised. I don't think he's going to look good ever again.
No, my prediction is in line with my Wilder prediction after those beatings, that this guy never looks the same again, whether he hangs around or not and gets, you know, and does it. Jeff Lacy, Jeff Lacy got beat up enough where you don't even remember that run where he was fun and knocking guys out and fun to watch. And you were like, yeah, you know, this guy's good.
I'm going to go ahead and say Devin Haney's out of boxing completely by the time he's 30.
How old is he now?
25.
I think before that.
Okay.
Let me take that back. It's more amount of fights than age with me. If they give him a super, 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 super soft touch against a guy who's got 30 fights and two knockouts and he eats by him, maybe.
Yeah, what the fuck was up with his boots, Devin Haney? Did you see that shit? He had like some fucking like UGG boots on.
I didn't really peep.
Oh my God.
Watching his head get battered like a bobblehead.
He's 25. I'm going to go ahead and say by the time he's 28, he's cooked.
I can see him being out of here by 27, 28.
Yeah.
And like my Wilder prediction from before, I wouldn't even flinch if they put him in there with a soft touch and that guy starched him. I wouldn't be shocked. You know,
I wouldn't be either. And you know what? I said that on Saturday. I said they better not put him in there with anybody with any power in his next three fights.
Yeah, and you know, when you're gone the way we think he's gone, you don't have to have power.
Right. I mean,
no.
I don't want to go ahead and say his chin is as bad as like Amir Khan. It's not that.
I think it's Juanma Lopez, Amir Khan bad.
I think it's what just a slight, like
a notch above their chin.
Right. So you have like your underwear drawer and your sock drawer.
Yeah, he's you know what I'm saying?
He's socks.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe Juanma Lopez is the most trash chin I ever saw ever.
Khan at a high level to me is the worst I've ever seen. Khan's the it's.
I think Juanma Lopez. Is
Juanma's pretty fucking bad, bro.
Yeah, but like, so yeah, I'm interested to see. I think then what's next for both of them is a
David Price maybe bad chin. Remember the heavyweight David Price?
I do.
Fucking bad chin.
That's the great Pazzini's prediction for Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia. Both different types of shit shows next. You know, you did make an Adrian Broner fight shit show.
If I'm a promoter, honestly, I'm looking at Broner.
I mean, look, if he cared about that belt, do you think Garcia cares about belt or legacy? If the answer is no.
Well, no.
He would have been
a world champion.
Yeah, you start linking him up with other wackadoos and see what can happen and who are capable. Because Adrian Broner at one point was a very capable prize fighter.
And again,
I admitted on this air, he was in my top 10 pound for pound at one point before he went up.
Right. So look, if you put him in there with Broner, God. Broner or Tio should be next. And no one's talking about Tio. The thing is, Tio fucking, I think, disconnects that dude. Like, if he turned his back on Lopez, I'm thinking Lopez really fucks him up badly. I don't think this is out of the realm.
I mean, Oscar will work with Bob. So let's get Teofimo Lopez.
Let's get Lopez,
Ryan Garcia.
On ESPN.
And he's got belts.
The only thing I think that might not jive with is ESPN. Makes sense. ESPN
it
may
makes
be
total
like,
sense.
It they
makes,
might go, no.
They might no, it makes complete sense.
Right. All right. We got on Wednesday on Pro Box.
You again have provided bad information. That fight already happened. I watched it live. Angelo Leo. Eduardo Baez already happened.
Really?
Yes. You have it. I want to say there's a Pro Box card, but I already watched that.
No wonder I couldn't find the fucking line.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Why is that on? Go on right now. Go on. Don't say no wonder why you couldn't find the line. There's no line for Jose Ramirez, Rances, Bartholomew either.
I'm not going on anything. I told you where to go. You don't listen.
Right. Well,
thank you.
I haven't been able to find that line either. So that's true.
And Virgil Ortiz isn't on BoxRec. The Delorme fight's not on BoxRec. I had to go on three different articles today and Boxing Scene to make sure that it was still there.
Look, it's not my problem or Irish Billy's problem. You don't do your job. Battery saver is on. Consider plugging in your device. Oh boy.
Do you have your device plugged in?
I do not. No diddy. B, on this DAZN card, on the undercard, did you know or see the following and just out of not giving a flying fuck, leave it off? Or did you not know what was happening?
What?
Jojo Diaz, Oscar Duarte. Okay. Jojo Diaz lost four of his last five.
That's why I left
Oscar
it off.
Oscar Duarte was sparked out by Ryan in his comeback fight.
Yeah.
We could have a loser leaves the sport going on here.
Yeah, I'm not a...
Make a pick.
Duarte.
Me too.
Yeah.
This is why we got
to... I'll never pick...
This is why we got to get Billy Betts some lines here because, okay. The return of Jose Ramirez versus Rances Bartholomew. What do you think, B? You think it's a good guy to come back against?
Yeah, I mean, Rancis Bartholomew. I mean, you know, they're going to try to showcase Jose Ramirez.
He's Rancis still making 140, huh?
That's what it says. And again,
Rancis Bartholomew was fighting at 35 at one point.
Right, but this whole card's not on BoxRec.
I can't see. I think Jose Ramirez stops him, but I always like Rancis Bartholomew.
Yeah, me
always too.
He's really awkward.
Super awkward, can give you nightmares, but I think he's too small. You know, and I know, you know, guys, when we say things like that and you go, oh, what does that mean? You know, they're in the same weight class.
Yeah, it's saying it's everything that I'm seeing says junior welterweight because it was incorrectly stated that Virgil Ortiz Delorme was going to be at welterweight. And then I looked further into it and it said super welter or junior middleweight. So that's going to be at 54, which is weird that Delorme hasn't fought in almost 2 years. To move him all the way up to 54, I think that's going to end in brutal knockout. Talk about chinny. Delorme is not a guy with a very, you know, he's, I don't know. He's now, is he even a gatekeeper at this point? He's
not if you're off 2 years, you know, at least gatekeepers, most of them stay busy,
right?
You know, and get in there and just take any fight and give you a problem, you know?
Yeah, Boots knocked him out one round, and I think we were on this show kind of critical of that, them making that fight at the time.
We definitely were.
Stanionis had beaten Delorme, and Jamal James had beaten Delorme prior to that. Delorme drew with Jesse Vargas. He lost to Ugas, and he was TKO'd by Terrence Crawford back in 2015.
Yeah.
He was also TKO'd nine years ago, guys. TKO'd in 2012 by Luis Abrego. I think
Virgil Ortiz gets the highlight reel knockout he needs, and then to me it's I need a real guy next. The last one, you know, his last fight ended in the first, right?
Huh?
Didn't his last fight end in the first round, his comeback fight?
Yeah.
I think he sparks him out in brutal fashion. What do you think about Jose Ramirez, Rancis Bartholomew? Rancis Bartholomew is not a junior welter.
No, I think they're getting Ramirez a name. They want him to, I guess, make noise at 140. I don't know if, I mean, that's another name for.
I was just gonna say there's another name for Ryan Garcia.
Same promoter.
Mm-hmm.
Is this Ramirez's first fight with Oscar? It is, right? He was formerly with Top Rank.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, they're going to get him a win. And again, I don't know why I can't find any stats on this on BoxRec. I think it's going to be a pretty clear win. Again, this is a barometer fight for them to see where Jose Ramirez is at and where they're and how they're going to match him. I thought he would be moving up.
That's why I asked twice. I thought he was going to go to 47.
I think maybe he made the weight easier than they thought. Maybe. I mean, look, they pull all kinds of shit. You know what I'm saying? They may say fight night, like, oh, this is at 144 pounds.
Of course.
They agreed ahead of time.
Of course, you're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this is a 143 or something. But Bartholomew's too small. Ramirez, accurate puncher. You know,
very busy. He's 5'10". He's a big guy.
I see this being like the Mo Hooker fight.
Yeah.
I think both of these guys win by spectacular knockout that looks good for them. And then I'm not playing these games with these type of fights anymore with either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Ramirez has been at the highest level. Virgil Ortiz is young and should be at the highest level. So, you know, we need a real sturdy guy at 54 for Virgil Ortiz next after he sparks this kid out.
Agreed. Well,
no,
that's it for me too, bro. I don't know what else to say about, you know, this weekend's fight. So that's on DAZN, guys. Check that out.
Yeah, there's a card from the UK during the day too. If you're on DAZN, if you're, you know, just around all day. I'm at Vinny_Paz on Twitter.
How'd you do this weekend, Billy, betting on Ryan Garcia?
I didn't bet because I wasn't confident in Swami Pazzi or whatever his name is.
How dare you disrespect?
The great Pazzini?
The great Pazzini.
you called him Pazzi. Swami Pazzi?
He did.
What is that?
And he said it real dismissively.
Yeah, he's being really dismissive.
He's blaming
me because he can't find a fucking, this degenerate can't find his own boxing lines. But there's no boxing on
Billy
any
bets. We got locks for you if you get these for a parlay on these. I love the unders on both of these, but you know, you can't find anything.
I lost big money on the Devin Haney Ryan Garcia fight.
Big money. I'm making quotations.
$5 he probably put on there.
43 fucking smackerinos. What are you talking about? I, you know, come on. I'm Brendo Bindle Sticks now.
Yeah,
that's true. I'm waiting for the Pazzi pick that changes the tides here when we're feeling good and we're going to throw down a whole clamorino.
I mean, I love Jose Ramirez and the under, and I love Virgil Ortiz in the under.
But we have no odds.
I know, but I'm wondering where they're at.
Right.
So I'm telling him that so he can find them and text me. But
it's supposed to be the
on the show.
Is Billy supposed to find it?
Right. And it's supposed to be on the show.
Right. But he's
right. But he's
we'll have to put out a tweet.
He's a dink.
I couldn't find the Ramirez one. I didn't look for the other one. So
thanks, Bill.
Yeah.
Glad you're doing your part to make the show.
Look, at Box Cutter Pazzi on IG.
Yes, and this
at
Vinny shit.
_Paz on Twitter, jmtstore.com for all your needs.
You can find me at I_no_that_kid on IG, at TheKillerB24 on Twitter, and write us at keotbboxing@gmail.com.
All right, guys.
On IG at KEOTB. What is it, Billy? Just say it. I'm exhausted. What is our IG?
You put me on the spot.
Two idiots.
You always do this part.
That's true.
If
you want to see the great Pazzini, you better watch
It's at KEOTB Boxing on IG, at KEOTB Podcast on YouTube, which we're getting requests to be on YouTube.
Okay, yeah, we'll start getting it together.
Yeah. All right.
We'll be back to talk Canelo Munguia, which might be fun while it lasts. So we'll see y'all next week.
Say goodnight, Billy.
Peace. Adios, amigos.
Knock him out the box, pass. Knock him out. Knock him out the box, B.